We've been talking a lot about dating for the last few weeks. We've covered a lot of principles about various stuffs. This week, we're finally getting to, like I said, it's probably going to be our last dating one for now, but the idea of how do you date, right? Like, once again, not all you guys have girlfriends, but it's good to know. It's good to know how to date properly at some point in time. So we're going to look at biblical principles today on how to date, and these also will apply to good things to have for any of your friends that are doing the exact same thing that Jaywoo over here is doing. So I'll pray us in real fast and we'll get going. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for what you've given us. I pray you just bless this time in your word, Lord. Get me out of the way, any of my own personal opinions or thoughts or anything of me, Lord. Just get it out of this lesson and just have it be all you and your principles and your word, and in your name, amen. Okay, so as I kind of talked about, we're going to cover this idea of like man's and women's roles, specifically in marriage, and then we're going to relate how that kind of comes down to dating. Okay, and so there's going to be lots of principles I want you to understand before we get going. I don't want to have to hit every single principle and turn back around and go, well, but understand this is under liberty. Like, understand, I'm giving you guys principles, but like, there is no law regarding dating. Once again, dating is not in the Bible. It all falls under liberty. So I'm going to give you a lot of good ideas, a lot of principles, a lot of things that I would suggest that you follow based off my own experience, based off biblical principles, based off things like that. But don't like, you know, come screaming at me if you're like, well, so-and-so is doing it differently, or my parents did it differently, so you're saying they did it wrong. Like, I don't care. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just giving you good thought-provoking stuff to maybe think about as you go through someday into dating. So it works out that all my girls are gone because the girls get like, what? Is all of them?
All of them.
Hey, you're Kenzie, you are a woman. Thank you very much.
Android.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I forgot two of them. You are a young woman. You're not a girl, Kenzie. All right. So it's all right. You guys get like a half a page. But, so let's real fast, lightning round, just kind of look at what the wife's role is in marriage. W's, man, they're the rough. They're the rough. So I'm going to flip to Ephesians 5 really fast. I flipped there before with you guys. Ephesians 5 just deals with a lot of the pictures of marriage. We went there in our first week. And I want you to kind of just see a couple things. We're just going to hit a few verses. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because there's really not much of a need to belabor the point. It's pretty self-explanatory stuff. So Ephesians 5. Swear to goodness, if I have to. Oh, no, it's not me. Okay, good. Okay, Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. So 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So, I mean, pretty plain and simple right there. The wife's role in marriage, one of her primary roles, is to submit to her husband. Now, that's not a popular thing to say these days. And, you know, it might come off as chauvinist. And I don't know about you guys, when someone says stuff like that, even me saying it, you're like butt puckers just a little bit because you're just like, oh, dude, someone's going to have an issue with that. Like, you're not allowed to say stuff like that these days. And I want you to understand, right, we're going to deal with men here in a bit. The reason we're dealing with women first is because that's the way the Bible deals with women. I learned this from Mike Veach, but he talked about it in his lesson. You know, God, when he lays out laws, he normally lays out laws for, like, or rules for like the lowest authority level first and then moves on up. It's kind of like if you and your little brother got in trouble ever and then your mom like goes to your little brother and then goes, Timmy, that was wrong. You shouldn't do that. And then all of a sudden her face gets real dark and she looks at you, you know? Yes. Perfect. Perfect. So you understand it's like that you get more trouble because you're technically more responsible. And that's the way guys are in dating. So the women, like they have some responsibilities, but we're going to spend most of our time talking about dudes because they've got a lot more responsibilities in relationships than women do. And so, pretty plain and simple. First step is the wife is supposed to submit to her husband. The second step, and I'm going to just read this here, 1 Timothy 2:12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. What does it mean to usurp authority? Anybody? If I usurp Bob's authority, what does that mean?
Just follow, not quite.
Yeah, you like, got it.
Take over and not let him do his.
So like I go above his authority, right? So if I assert my parents' authority, if my parents say, "Hey, I need you in at 9," and I show up at 11, right? I usurped their authority. I said, "You know, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm my own boss," right? That's usurping authority. You know, and so I want you to realize here that in wives and marriage, it's not just that they submit. It's more important that they don't take that leadership role. That leadership role is for the guy. So, you know, it's not just submission. It's not taking the reins. So the Bible is really clear on that. It's, you know, on whose job it is to lead, and that's the man's job in any relationship. And so, you know, you run into this issue a lot of times where, you know, people make a lot of justifications where a woman will take over. So, you know, if the man is being stupid and not leading, right, if he's just like a hobo, sure, you can close those doors if it's too distracting, but if he's just like a hobo, right, what's the girl gonna do? Well, she's gonna take the, you know, charge. I've seen a lot of moms do that, like family's kind of out of control and she just takes the wheel because husband's not doing what he's supposed to do. Or, you know, if you disagree with his choices, or, you know, if she disagrees with, you know, maybe she thinks she can do a better job. This is a thing you'll commonly see nowadays because, I mean, fundamentally, men these days are wimps and pushover babies that, like, just expect their mom to clean up after them 24/7. And then, I mean, I'm in the same boat, but then you get to be in marriage and you're just still a wimp and you don't lead anything. And so the wife's like, well, the car's careening out of control. I'm going to reach over and grab the steering wheel to save us all from dying. And, you know, that might seem like a good idea, but that violates all the biblical principles. And that's when you see these relationship and marriages is that just completely collapse because, like, that's not the way God set up marriage. And so, you know, Bible's pretty clear. Regardless of how well the man's leading, regardless of how much you agree with his choices, regardless of whether or not you think you can do a better job, like, it's your job to just let him be the leader. And sometimes that means kind of going through a rocky ride. But at least if you're following the biblical principles, you've got God as your backup in that situation. And, you know, so it's pretty important. And it's also why it's so important on who you marry, right? Like, if you're being subject to their authority, you want to put yourself under someone good. You know, one of the first things that when you're applying to a place of work, you want to find out if the boss is bad or not, right? Like, if your friend goes, dude, the boss is so nice, you're like, oh, I want to apply to that place. You know, and if another guy says, no, the boss is a jerk, you're like, yeah, I'm not applying there, right? Because you don't want to put yourself under the authority of someone that's a jerk. And so it's the exact same thing with dating. You know, women are supposed to marry who's, you know, who's someone they're fine being under their leadership. So in dating, and this is pretty simple for girls, in dating, no, there's pretty much two rules, you know, and I could get a lot more in depth on a lot of this stuff, but there's no need to at this point in time, especially with your guys' stage in life. You know, if you want to spend 5 years, I mean, we have like a 8-month premarital counseling we could take you through someday, but, you know, that's not necessary right now, right? So girls' roles in dating, number one is guarding yourself. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, sorry, I keep looking at you, but you're my only girl, so. You know, that's it is what it is. Kenzie's not dating anymore. There you go. Yeah, Erica too, I guess. But we'll stare back at Olivia. How about that? I can't. She's not paying attention. But the number one is guarding yourself. Just what I talked about, putting yourself in a position with bad authority is a bad idea. You know, understanding that, you know, understand the Bible says in multiple places that women are the weaker vessel. Another thing that's not cool to say these days. But it talks about that's why the devil went after Eve and not Adam. Because women, fundamentally, there's part of them that makes them a little bit more susceptible to being deceived. Now, you know, that's a blessing. You know, women's connection with their emotions is a blessing. For me, like, there's a lot of times where we'll come home from youth group or we'll come home from church or we'll come home from something and Kenzie will be just like, hey, just need to let you know that was a little insensitive. Like, oh, really? Oh, thanks, honey. You know, like, it's a lot of times that's kind of a quality and a blessing that a lot of women have, and it's especially as dudes, I feel like we're emotionally dumb. So someday you'll rely on your girlfriend to have, you know, that emotional sense to kind of help you out sometimes. You can be like, is this mean? And she'll be like, yes, that's mean. Like, oh, okay, thanks, you know. But the flip side of that is that it makes you guys more vulnerable. And so you have to guard yourself. I mean, that's fundamentally the number one thing in dating. You know, I've seen it a million times where, and we've all seen the relationship where there's like an awesome girl and she's dating like the biggest piece of crap dude in the universe. Like, you guys have all seen it before, right? I mean, I'm not drawing off some unique experience. You've all seen that. What happens with that situation? Why is that the way that is? It's because the girl got deceived and then got too emotionally invested in some piece of crap guy. And secretly, deep down, I think she knows he's a piece of crap. I mean, how would you not? You know, he's like emotionally beat her up 1,500 times. But she gets trapped by her heart. She gives up too much of her heart too soon. And, you know, it leads to kind of losing control of your rational thought. And I've seen it too much. And so number one rule with girls is just like, you know, don't give yourself away too easily, right? As far as an emotional and a physical standpoint goes. You've got to guard yourself. You've got to stay secure in who you are. You have years of marriage to give yourself and all your affection and all your love and all your attention to a guy, you know, but you don't need to go there in dating. So that's the first rule with girls. And the second rule with girls is you got to let the man lead, even in dating. And so, you know, we'll get into this more later. If you're dating, you're not a helpmeet yet, right? Eventually you will be a helpmeet if you get married. But in dating, you are not a helpmeet. You know, that's specifically for marriage. And I have issues a lot with couples that kind of play marriage, where they love the idea of dating. They love the idea of doing everything that married couples do. You know, maybe if they're really biblical, they'll not have sex. But outside of that, they'll commit themselves emotionally. They'll commit themselves spiritually to each other and kind of get too intertwined. And it's really risky. You know, so when I say let the man lead, I'm not talking about like, you know, be his helpmeet. You know, you need to still have your own ministries. You need to still have your own authority that you submit yourself to, your parents, your church authority, all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to the relationship, the boy has to lead some things in the relationship. And we'll talk about those here when we get to the guy's side. But then the flip side of that is if the boy isn't leading, right, you don't have someone talk to him. You don't give him 10,000 chances. I mean, maybe you give him a couple chances, right? Grace is allowed in this situation. But if the boyfriend ain't leading, your goal is to just bail, right? Don't go down with the ship. Your goal isn't to reach over and grab the steering wheel of a car and like pull it straight. Your goal is to just open the door and ditch yourself out if the guy's not leading. Because fundamentally, if a man can't lead in a dating relationship, he's not going to be able to lead as a husband. He's not going to be able to lead as a father. And this goes for all you guys too, right? If you can't lead at the little things, you're not going to lead in the big things. You're not going to be a church leader if you can't lead your family, if you can't lead as a father, if you can't lead as a husband, if you can't lead as a boyfriend. And so, you know, and he won't lead you to judgment seat rewards. He's going to be a bad group partner. And so if you find that you're the one that always is bringing up topics about the Lord, if you find that you're the one that is holding the line physically, I've seen it a million times, the default is that the woman kind of defines how far you guys will go physically. You know, I've seen this too much where it's basically the girl says, well, we can kiss, but whatever, no, don't go any farther than that. And then what happens is the boy, you know, is the stronger vessel, will slowly wear her down over time and get her to compromise on her own beliefs. And, you know, the woman was never meant to be the one to hold that physical line, those boundaries. So, you know, if you're fine that you're the one in dating, it's always pulling up the, you know, talking about those boundaries. If you're the one that's setting the plan and vision for your relationship, if you're asking, where are we going? Are we getting married? Or, you know, what's this all about? Tell me about where we're at. You know, if you find yourself being the one to ask all those questions, then you're doing the leading as the girl, right? Whoever's asking those questions is the one that's doing the leading. And so, I mean, just your goal is to just, you know, find a guy that does that, you know, and if you're in dating, and that's not to say that, you know, once again, there's have some grace. No guy is going to be perfect. Kenzie will vouch. I was not the perfect boyfriend or the perfect husband. I have a documented list of screw-ups, but these are all things you need to look at. So I appreciate you enduring me looking solely at you for an hour.
I'm just laughing at the way that you just like completely like soaked that coffee.
Yeah. Hey, I need it. It's don't let me forget when we leave today. I need to talk about drinks up here. But so the next part, boys, now we're talking to you. This is where it gets serious. That's it. That's all we got for the girls. The rest of this meeting is all for the gentlemen. Jake's like, I lead my dog real good. He's, where's Xavier? Wait, what the heck? I don't know why it just clicked that he was one missing. Where's he at?
He... pulled his hamstring so he can't come to church.
Oh, dude, we're gonna drive to your house after this, and we're just gonna do this.
I forgot to tell him he could just go on Zoom, but.
Yeah, oh well.
He's not fast enough to pull a hamstring.
Ooh. Dude, that's funny. We'll have to give him crap for that. Okay, so the husband's role in marriage. That's what we talked about before. Obviously, if the woman's submitting to your leadership, the man has to be the leader. Okay, yeah? What does it mean to be the leader? Well, I want you to realize this goes beyond just being the guy that makes sure that there's food on the table. A lot of dudes take it there and leave it there, right? Where it's like, I work the job, I'm done. But you gotta understand, as a husband and as a father someday, you are essentially the pastor of your family. You know, it's not just the physical side, but it's also the emotional side and the spiritual side that you're supposed to provide for your family and your wife. And so you have to know where the green pasture is. You have to know where God's blessings are. You have to know all that stuff. And you have to be able to lead your family there and your girlfriend there and your wife someday. And so what's one of the first things that Bob talks about? If you ever listened to him preaching on family, he talks about the dads need to what? I'm pointing at you because I feel like you probably know. What's like the thing he always talks about? It's in Proverbs. Where there is no what?
Vision.
There you go. Cheater. Where there is no vision, the people perish, right? So as the man, you have to set a vision. What do you think it means to set a vision? Anybody? You got an idea? What's if you're setting a vision for your family someday, what does that mean? Jay?
Like
good goals. Exactly. Like what's your family about? What are you guys gonna do? Like are you only go to church on one day a week? We're going to go as hard for the ministry as we can. It's your job as the husband. You're putting that goal out there, right? You're the one that's defining that. And so another role, right? Flip back to Ephesians 5, verse 33. It says this, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So, you have to someday love your wife the same way that Christ loved the church. You realize how kind of intense that is? What did Christ give up for the church?
His son.
Well, yeah, his life. Christ. yeah, exactly. I get what you're saying. God, yeah. Right? Do you realize how much Christ gave up for the church? He gave up everything, right? He gave up absolutely everything he had for you and for me. So someday, you're going to be the picture of Christ in your relationship, and your goal is to love your wife like Christ led the church, which means, funnily, you're going to be called to give up everything. Now, that doesn't mean that you give her every minute of every day, but what it means is that, you put her first in every way. Christ put me first in every way. Christ held nothing back in that way. There was never a point where Christ was like, yeah, but I'm going to need you to do this for me. I think I'm going to draw an analogy here, right? This is kind of what it is. Let me read that verse one more time. I'm going to go back to the one about the wife. Where is it? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So I want you to realize this, the way this kind of works, right? If you've got brownie, like coffee cups or something. Okay, so we got the, we're drawing mugs today. Okay, so we got a cup, right? And this one is Christ. And then here's the way that the church works. Church works like this. God's cup is full, and it pours out and fills up the church, right? Pours out and fills up the church. Now, this provides us everything that we need, fundamentally, as a church. Is Christ expecting us to put back anything in his cup? No. Do I have to do, as a Christian, am I meeting any of Christ's needs? Fundamentally, no. Does he need me? Absolutely not. Right? So if this is the Christ and this is the church, hey, he doesn't need me. I just get filled from him. And so here's the same deal. And you kind of do this one more time. It relates this same relationship with Christ to the church as a husband. to his wife. Look at that verse 33 again. Do you notice something weird about it? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Are the standards the same for wives and husbands? Read it. Are they the same? What's it tell a husband to do?
Love his wife.
What's it tell the wife to do?
Reverence her husband.
Does it tell her to love the husband? Now, a wife has to love her husband, but look at the point here. The relationship is drawing between Christ and the church. If Christ doesn't need anything from me, I don't meet any of his needs, I just get stuff from him, guess what, you as a husband, you shouldn't be counting on getting any of your needs met by your wife either. Now, she will meet certain needs for you, and that is part of that relationship. But I want you to realize something. Most guys are too selfish in their relationships. You know, most guys are kind of picturing this idea of the 1950s housewife, where he gets home and plops his feet up on the couch and whips open the newspaper, and the kids run and give him a kiss, and the wife comes, gives him a kiss, brings him his coffee, and, you know, he sits there and reads the paper and is like, okay, where's dinner, honey? And she's like, oh, it's coming. You know, like, they get this idea of being waited on hand and foot by this woman that he's got. That he's got all these needs that she needs to meet, and so, you know, I don't know. You get where I'm at, right? The compare and contrast that with Jesus washing the disciples' feet. You see kind of the difference between the worldly idea of, now granted, that's not the worldly idea anymore because feminism and whatnot, but like the 1950s idea of the woman's here to take care of the house and meet all your needs as a husband. That's not at all what being a husband's about. You know, my needs are, I get all those filled through Christ. And that's what allows me to give some else to Kenzie. Because if I'm waiting on her to fill my, like, you can't fill two cups with the same water, right? If I got two cups, if I'm pouring out of this, right, it's just emptying this cup and putting it into this cup. If I pour it back, it's just emptying out this cup and putting it into this cup. You have to get your water from somewhere else. And in the family, it's a trickle-down effect from the husband. The man has to get all of the stuff that he needs, as much as he can, from the Lord, and then he can give that back to the wife. And so, like I said, I mean, she'll be your helpmeet, but she's not your help me. She's not there to, like, you know, meet all of your needs. At the end of the day, you're there to meet hers, and in return, she's supposed to reverence you, be thankful. Same thing as like with Christ, right? He doesn't ask me to give up, like, you know, too much for me. He doesn't ask me, he doesn't expect, like, I'm not meeting any of his needs, but what does he ask? He asks that I'd love him in return, right? He asks that I would be thankful in return. And so this wonderful picture, especially just the way that women are supposed to respond to their husbands and the way that husbands are supposed to treat their wives, the husbands are supposed to love sacrificially, the same way that Christ loved the church. There is not anything more loving than I can think of than what Christ did for the church, right? He didn't save anything for himself. He didn't save that little bit of time that he, you know, he wants to relax at the end of the day and play video games when his wife needs him to do something else, right? He didn't save that for me. He gave it all up. And so someday you as a leader means doing that for your spouse. And so I always found this is like my best advice that I feel like I gave whenever a dude gets pissed off in a relationship. So this was like, every once in a while I'd get like butthurt, get kind of emotional or sad with like Kenzie. I don't know, that rarely happened, but every once in a while I'd get kind of frustrated or sappy just in a relationship, just like upset, not because of anything she did, but I just get kind of pouty. And so I always found that in that situation, you take this home, whenever I got mad or frustrated at Kenzie, if I just went ahead and did something nice for her and served her, 9 times out of 10, I found out that the reason I was upset was because I was expecting her to meet some need that she's not even supposed to be meeting, right? So I'd get pissed off or something and I'd go do the dishes for her, or I'd go whatever, just whatever she needed at that point in time. And then all of a sudden I'd cool down and realize like, oh yeah, I'm just out of fellowship. I haven't read my Bible in a week, you know? But I was taking it out on my wife because I'm expecting her to kind of fill me up because I'm spiritually dying right now because I'm not in my Bible. So, you know, just a good tip, basically, in that sense. So that's the husband's role in marriage, and obviously super oversimplified. But now I want to look at the man's role in dating. And this is where I'm going to really hit hard here for the end. And I don't know how much longer we got. We got a decent amount of time, actually. We're not dying. But y'all hanging with me? I know this is getting, this is big kid stuff. This is not little kid stuff today. But I want to, like, we're here. We're talking about it. So obviously, man's role in dating is to, what, be the leader. If your role in marriage is to be the leader, then in dating you're supposed to be the leader too. So, in the exact same way in marriage that, hey, you shouldn't be expecting that chick to, like, meet your needs. Same thing in dating, right? You gotta care for her. I wouldn't care for her the same way yet I would care for the church, right? You know, you're, once again, you're not married. You can't love her that same way yet. But, you know, once again, I don't think there's any responsibility on the woman's part to fulfill a dude's needs in dating, right? At the end of the day, like, if I'm getting my needs filled by another human being, if that human being leaves, guess what? Like, I'm not getting those needs filled, number one. And number two, those are needs that Christ could be filling, that could be developing my relationship with him, right? There's nothing better. I don't know if you ever had a friend where, you know, you were kind of like kind of friends, you'd hang out, and then all of a sudden they needed something or you needed something and you helped each other out. Then all of a sudden now your relationship's like super strong, right? I don't know if you can think of an exact example, but maybe that kid in class, you needed to share homework with him once. And then now all of a sudden you're best buds because you like helped each other out. That's a fantastic way to develop your relationship with the Lord, is to let him provide your needs, right? Not try to fill your needs yourself, not try to fill your needs with hobbies or activities or people. Let the Lord fill those needs. You'll find yourself get stronger to him a lot. And so this next step is set a vision, okay? Set a vision. How do you set a vision in dating? Anybody got any ideas? Coffee yet?
It's over there.
Okay, this is important. I give you guys time to think. How do you set a vision in dating? What's some things you would do if you were to set a vision in dating? Guys, what would you do?
Grow together before marriage, so you know what the foundation is before.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that's a goal. Yeah, I mean, just setting a goal, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else would you guys do? Do you have anything else? You thought about it? Interesting. No. I get it. Hey, I get it. I'm glad. I'm glad to have caught you guys before you've thought about a lot of this stuff, because it's dangerous to do this stuff without having any biblical principles. So, first thing I want you to realize, what does the Bible say about God? It says that he's not the author of confusion. This is a big one. God is not the author of confusion. If you are representing Christ to a girl, what does that mean? It means you probably shouldn't be confusing. Sounds dumb, but follow me here. Okay? So, going back to our example of cost, right? Relationships cost time and effort and thought and energy. Here's what happens. Here's an example, right? Boy asks a girl out, and instead of asking her out, he just goes, hey, you want to grab some coffee sometime? And then she goes, oh, sure, yeah. And like, oh, he's like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. So then she goes home, and now she's like, you know, oh, well, does he like me? Or is this actually a date, or are we just getting coffee? Or, you know, what if he's wanting to be friends? Like, I actually don't like him that much. Like, you know, now all of a sudden this girl's freaking out in her head, not knowing whether or not, is he trying to date me? Is he trying to, you know, what's he doing, right? You know, maybe you have that coffee, and now she's asking all the way home. She's like freaking out. She's like, was that a date? Did I date him? I don't like him. I like him as a friend. Or maybe I kind of like him, but I don't know if he likes me. Or, you know, meanwhile, the, you know, cut scene over to the guys hanging out, you know, high-fiving each other. The guy's like, yeah, I went on my first date, you know. But the girl's freaking out over there, like, what was that? What are we doing? You know, who is this guy? Like, are we more than friends? Are we friends? Whatever. You know, and the example I'm trying to draw here is that, as dudes, your goal is to reduce the cost for the chick. If she's guessing where you're at, if she's guessing where you're headed, if she's guessing what you think and what you feel, then guess what? It takes her a lot of, she's gonna sit there and think about that, lay at night. I mean, you guys have done it. I know you guys, maybe you haven't had a girlfriend, maybe you have had a girlfriend, maybe, I don't know, whatever. But there's that one chick where you're like reading into it, like, she kind of looked at me a little longer than normal today. You know, I wonder if that means that, you know, oh, you know, Grayson knows what's up. Grayson knows what's up. Or there's that, you know, you're running and like, wow, she's way faster than me, but she ran next to me that whole time. You know, well, what's going on? You know, you've all been there where like you're laying in bed at night and you spend a lot of time thinking about that stuff. And, you know, if you're that way, if you're causing a lot of confusion for a chick, guess what? That's time that she's not thinking about the Lord. That's time that she's thinking about you. It makes it more costful. And so I'm a big fan of dudes being what I call intentional. You know, when you ask a chick out, use the word date or let her know that you're like, you know, kind of have an idea of, hey, let her know you like her. You know, don't be a wimp. Don't just be like, oh, I'm nervous about this chick, but like, I'm just going to ask her to coffee. And then maybe if it goes well, then I'll build up the courage to ask her on a date or something. And like, but dude, then that whole time she's wondering, you know, well, what's he feeling? What's he thinking? Is this supposed to mean something more? Is it not supposed to mean something more? You know, and I realize this is kind of, seems like I'm blowing a small feature out of the water, but this gets bigger, right? This gets bigger. You've dated for a long time, and then now you've never even mentioned the word marriage, and so you're like, you know, now all of a sudden she's wondering, hey, like, where's this relationship happen? Where it's going? You know, what's happening? You know, you don't want to let the girl be confused. God's not the author of confusion, so you shouldn't be either. In every situation, your goal as the man is to be like the man, right? You know, like it's like in a war movie or something. Like the general walks in and like, here's the plan, here's what we're doing, here's how it goes. You know, like everybody knows their job. This is what's going on. You should be that kind of a stud in a relationship at some point in time, because you know you don't want to let the girl have to sit and wonder what you're thinking about. And so, set the vision, explain your intentions. You know, I would honestly consider, like, at the beginning of your relationship, if you ever start a relationship, you'd go in there and you'd be like, hey, like, I just want you to know, like, I believe in dating to marry. I believe that I'm happy to date you because I think, you know, you seem like material that I could someday potentially marry. Maybe not now, but like someday. And I want you to know that, like, that's my end goal with dating, and just put that out on the table, because there's a lot of people that, you know, you tell them that, they're going to be like, well, you know, I was just wanting to casually date. I was just wanting to screw around. I was just wanting to be an idiot. You know, it makes it a lot clearer. It makes it a lot safer. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of any more examples I need to get to. I realize I'm kind of beating a dead horse here. But this drives me insane. Dudes that just, like, lead girls on just pisses me off, because you're just wasting her time, just wasting her brain power. And so just, like, let her know where you're at. Keep her up to date. Don't let her be guessing. Next one is, you know, defining boundaries for dating. Now, this is a huge one, and I'm going to pretty much, this is basically the last point that I'm going to make. So, you know, pay attention on this one. I have this underlined on my note, right? It is not just sex that should be saved for marriage. That's the thing that everybody always goes, yep, you can do anything in dating, but just don't have sex and you're good, A-okay. I want to tell you, there's stuff that's reserved for marriage outside of sex, right? And that's what we need to get into. There's basically three primary areas that you kind of need to, as the man, be leader and kind of make sure that you guys don't cross any boundaries. So first one is obviously physical. That's the easiest one to kind of talk about. You know, the hugging, the kissing, the macking, the whatever. You know, I want you to understand something. Okay, you guys understand body, soul, spirit, right? Your flesh, your spirit, all that kind of stuff. What part of that gets fed by holding hands or by kissing or by making out? What part of your of you as a person gets something out of that? Is it
Heart.
Your heart? What's your heart?
Flesh.
Bingo. Yep. It's your flesh. Is the flesh good? No. No. Does your spirit get anything out of that? You get closer to God because you held hands with a lady? Yeah. Yeah, your human spirit gets something out of it. That's exactly right. So I want you to understand something, right? Dating, not planned by God. Okay, same exact thing with handholding and making out and kissing. Who came up with the idea that, you know, well, it's just in his kiss. That's the way it is. You know, that's how you know someone loves you. Who came up with that? God? No, it's the world. The world came up with that stuff. And so, here's the risk, right? This verse, I mean, everybody should flip there, just because it's a killer verse. But I'm going to go fast, so if you're, we're cooking. Galatians 5:17. That would help if I gave you the verse, wouldn't it? Galatians 5:17. Go fast, you guys. Come on. Come on. I guess I'm being confusing. Oh, no. Okay. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. You guys realize that? That if your flesh is getting stronger, that is directly fighting what? The spirit. You know, and we talk about how technically there's some things that feed our flesh. Sometimes physically, right? We go eat Legends of Asia and our flesh is just like, you know, like we get it. Or sometimes we go watching a lame TV show or playing the video games. That all feeds our flesh, right? It's not feeding our spirit. Right? So it's feeding our flesh, and that's fine, that's a balance, but you do understand that every time you feed that flesh, you are making part of you that is opposed to the spirit stronger. It's that black dog, white dog thing that Josh Smith always used, right? So you got the two dogs inside of you. Every decision you make is throwing a little chunk of meat to one dog or the other. And so if you're constantly throwing meat and throwing chunks of food to the flesh dog, right? Guess which one, when they get in a fight, guess which one's going to win? The dog that you've been feeding more, right? And so here's the thing that I get scared about with, you know, and I don't know if you can, yeah, we'll just leave it. We're almost done. So here's the thing that scares me about relationships and, actually, Alex, would you want to try to get it back and going again? But you're good, Grayson. So that's the risk. The risk is that you would get too much of your flesh in control and you'd lose the ability for the spirit to affect you in your relationship. Do you need the spirit to have a successful marriage someday? So the flesh is your enemy. It is not your friend. There's a couple risks that, you know, go on here. You know, first risk, you can tune out the spirit. If you have your flesh so strong, you'll just like, the spirit won't have any power in your life. If you spend all your time playing video games and listening to bad music and watching bad TV, and you're like, man, why is my spiritual life bad? Well, it's because you have done nothing to feed your the spiritual side of yourself. You know, it's the exact same thing with dating. You got to be careful because that physical side of dating is just there to feed your flesh. That's all it does. It doesn't do anything else good. And so your goal in dating as the leader is supposed to keep that fleshy dog as tiny as you can, right? You don't want it to be in control. You want to be in control. So you don't want to tune out the spirit. The second risk is that you can sever fellowship with the Lord, okay? Fornication in the Bible is, I mean, you know, often people will talk about that as just like having sex before marriage. I want to broaden the definition here, right? Fornication really, in God's eyes, is having any heart attitude that is reserved for marriage, okay? So, you know, we talked about in Matthew that, hey, it's not just if you like commit adultery, you know, have sex with someone, not your wife. It's not just that. It's, do you even have the heart attitude? It says any man that lusteth upon a woman has committed adultery with her. And so, I mean, think about it like this. And the Bible says that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. So guess what? If you lust after a woman, it makes sense. You're an adulterer. It's the heart attitude that fundamentally comes down to it. And so you got to watch in your relationship, like, you know, is the heart attitude, you know, you and your lady, is your heart attitude getting to a point where that's approaching something that's not God glorifying? You know, if God came down and interrupted your makeout sesh, could you justify it? Right? Like, do you want to try to explain that to God? Do you think he'd come down and be just like, oh, carry on, you know, keep going, buddy. It's just, you tick, you little lovebirds. You know, no, he ain't doing that. And so this physical touch and emotions, what it does is it builds up your emotions and it builds up and amps up your flesh to the point where you're just dumb. You make bad decisions because you're making that decision based off your flesh. You know, I've seen a million people that say they fell out of love. Well, what that means is that their relationship was just based off being excited about touching each other, basically. And then eventually that gets unexciting after a while and they realize that they never liked each other in the first place. And, you know, but that physical connection blinded them to their actual emotions to each other. It's a dumb idea. When Kenzie and I started dating, we lined out boundaries. And now, read me here. I'm not saying you have to copy us. But what I'm saying, we sat down and figured out, like, hey, these are some things that we need to do to make sure that we don't end up in a bad situation. You know, we said, like, hey, we're not going to kiss until we're engaged. Whoa, crazy. What? You would hold that back for that long? Yeah, and guess what? If you asked both of us now, if we would do it again, we'd say no. We'd wait till marriage. Because fundamentally, even though we never physically did anything that we weren't supposed to do, our hearts did go there, right? And so there are sins that Jesus Christ died for on the cross right now because I didn't lead good enough as a boyfriend, right? Do you realize that? Like, that's fundamentally how we're playing with that level of stuff, right? And here's the crazy thing, and here's the thing that should make us all anxious as dudes, is, yeah, if I lead us together, it's not just me that's having sin. You're making her sin too. You're bringing her down with you. And so this is just a big thing for dudes, is where you got to watch this, man. You got to be the one that's in charge of it. She's the weaker vessel. She's not going to stop you. Eventually you could wear her down and do whatever you want. I've seen it happen a million times, you know, and you just got to be careful with that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying, you know, you can't have premarital eye contact, you know, like, oh yeah, it's fine. You hold your hand. It's okay. Like, you're not going to die if you, like, you know, look at each other every once in a while, you know, it's okay. But what I'm saying is, like, think about this, read me here, right? Like, how do you stay safe against the flesh? You don't feed it, right? Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. Provision is food. Try not to feed it. Try not to feed it. Try to keep it at a minimum in your relationship. It doesn't do anything for you as a dating couple. All it does is just cloud your mind, make you stupid. You know, and I'm not saying that you don't do it, but I'm saying you got to be smart. You know, it's like Joseph and Potiphar's wife. He's getting tempted by this chick that's saying, lie with me. What did he do? Did he, you know, stay around and go, well, I just think we should, you know, talk about this. I think that's wrong. You know, no, he ran away to the point where she yanked his clothes off him because he was running away so fast. That's the godly response to temptation of the lust variety, is just freaking get the heck out of Dodge. And so, I mean, that should be the exact same response to us when it comes to, you know, the physical side of a relationship someday. So just be wise, you know, don't follow the world's example. If you're touching each other just as much as all the worldly couples are, guess what? You're probably following a dumb idea. So, you know, you'll have all of marriage to do whatever you want to do. That's a blessing in marriage, but it is not a blessing outside of marriage. So I'm going to go real fast. Just two other boundaries that you need to set. Emotional boundaries. So, this is just basically, are you getting too invested emotionally? And this is a good one for girls to pay attention to as well, right? You know, am I so obsessed with her that, you know, I wake up, I text her, we hang out directly after school. You know, I'm all day, I'm thinking about, can I date her? Can I talk to her? What can we do to hang out? And then 15 minutes before bed, I throw my Bible time in. And then, you know, I'm wondering why my spiritual relationship sucks. Because I spent all freaking day thinking about a chick, right? you guys get it. I mean, I spent nothing 24/7 every single day as a high schooler thinking about girls. That's all I did, man. That's all it was. But, you know, do you want that to be her? Do you want her to spend all day thinking about you or all day thinking about God? Right? And so that's the leadership. Or am I so obsessed with him that, you know, I go to church or I go to camp or I go to a youth event and I spend all my time standing next to them and not chasing after the visitor, not trying to find someone? Look, when Kenzie and I are at church, I never see her. She is always off running, talking to the visitor, talking to some youth kid. I'm doing my own thing, right? We'll talk to each other on our own time. When it's church, when it's youth event, when it's whatever, it's game time, man. We're playing for souls. I got more important stuff to do than like hang out and cuddle my girl, right? And so that once again, we hang out, we say hi. We, you know, I'm not being dramatic here, but where's your emotions at? Like, is it, you know, you got to set those emotional boundaries. You got to watch that as a dude. Are my emotions stronger for her than for the Lord? I prayed every day up and day until the day we got married. Like, Lord, like, if you don't want this to happen, please find a way to interrupt it. And there were days that I couldn't pray that in a good heart, because there was days that I was too emotionally attached to Kenzie and too, you know, invested in her to do that, right? And that was wrong. And so I knew on those days, hey, I got to get my heart right because I'm too invested. I care about her more than I care about following the Lord. And so, you know, that was just something big that protected me a lot in our relationship. And so, you know, you got to understand, marriage has a lot of the commitment of marriage, and marriage has a lot of responsibilities. There's a lot of protection in marriage because the Lord will help you out. And I've got responsibilities. She's got responsibilities. We can protect each other in dating relationship. If you give your heart to someone else, they can just take off and leave with it without anybody caring. And so I'm going to leave there. Well, we got one more. I got spiritual boundaries. I'm going to leave this, you know, basically kind of off where I started, right? Dating couples. A lot of them, I've seen some of them just basically act like they're married, but just not be married, right? So it's like, you know, they have the same ministry and they have the same Bible study every week and they just do everything spiritually together and they don't have any spiritual growth with the Lord themselves. So that's, you know, something to look out for as a dude someday is like, you know, are we both growing individually? Yes, it's okay. It's good to do Bible study. Yes, it's good to talk about spiritual stuff together. But at the end of the day, you know, are we so intertwined that if we stop dating, one of us would take a hit spiritually, right? Yeah, that's something to look out for as a dude. And so, you know, we can do ministry alongside each other. We can do, you know, all that kind of stuff. But in God's eyes, we're still brothers and sisters. We're not husband and wife, right? So until you're a husband and wife, you're not husband and wife. And so just this kind of comes back to the end goal that I've been talking about for weeks. I feel like I come back and hit this point every week. It's have your own relationship with the Lord. Everything in dating, everything in marriage will work for you if you have a relationship with the Lord. That's all there is to it. You know, he's the one that's going to guide you and he's the one that's going to lead you. So that's all I got. I know that was kind of, I don't know, we got there. Next week.